here's a story from The World.
North Korea has put its neighbors on edge with increasingly frequent ballistic missile tests. But the specter of a long-range ballistic missile, one that can carry multiple nuclear warheads and reach the continental U.S., that's what people in the non-proliferation community call the monster missile. In March, North Korea said they'd successfully tested one. They put out a film featuring leader Kim Jong-un to prove the achievement. That video turns out proved to be something else. Dina Temple-Raston, host of the podcast Click Here, has this exclusive story about the digital sleuthing that upended North Korea's claim.
So back on March 24th, the North Koreans announced that they'd successfully launched the Hwasong-17. It's a monster missile that could evade American missile defense systems by launching multiple nuclear warheads on the continental U.S. And they were so giddy about it, they released this video. This is the actual music from it.
They had Kim Jong-un like looking dramatically at his watch, wearing crazy sunglasses. You know, it was this really overproduced video to say that the missile had worked.
Jeffrey Lewis is the director of the East Asia Nonproliferation Project at the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. And he and his team in Monterey began studying that North Korean video back in March. It's unintentionally hilarious. Kim Jong-un is wearing a Top Gun-like leather jacket, and he's walking in slow motion. And he's flanked on either side by two generals. An enormous mobile launch vehicle is slowly trailing along behind them. The video shows the missile powering up, and then about 4 minutes in, liftoff. There's smoke, the missile rises into the air, the music swells, and then the camera cuts to Kim and a bunch of generals punching the air and applauding. The whole production suggests that the great leader had created a missile that will allow him to threaten, really threaten, the U.S. with nuclear war. And Lewis views these propaganda films as incredibly instructive, because
when you catch someone in a lie, then you've learned something really interesting about what they care about. You know what they want you to think, and you know what they want you to not know.
Like, for example, Korean leader Kim Jong-un's preoccupation with a particular part of his anatomy.
Well, my favorite thing that North Korea loves to lie about, which they've stopped doing, so I'm a little disappointed, but they always used to adjust the size of Kim Jong-un's ears. Apparently the man thinks his ears are too big, or at least he did. They've given up on doing that, but we would just see image after image after image when they had made his ears a little bit smaller. And I don't know why you would do that, but they did.
So he clearly cares about his ears.
He clearly cares about his ears, yes.
It seems Kim wants the world to think he has delicate little ears.
His ears look totally normal to me. I don't see what the problem is, but, you know, maybe you should see a therapist about that.
Kim's latest video does tell us one thing about the great leader. He's still incredibly focused on missiles and their size, though those productions only reveal so much. So to see what's really going on, Lewis and his team zoom out and turn to satellites to help fill in the blanks.
Tiny, inexpensive Earth imaging powerhouses delivering data on demand.
That's a promotional video from Planet Labs, one of the hundreds of satellite companies now offering clients snapshots and panoramas of the Earth.
Our constellation of nearly 200 Earth observation satellites currently orbiting Earth is the largest ever.
Right behind Planet in terms of sheer coverage is the Chinese Ministry of Defense. Today's satellite reconnaissance can offer everything from a glimpse into the black boxes of reclusive regimes to the strength of an enemy force. Satellites were once the purview of governments and spy agencies. Now, business people, environmentalists, and researchers like Jeffrey Lewis can look at imagery of the past to inform the future.
One of the things that's changed about satellite imagery over the past decade or two is now there is so much of it. And with so much of it, you actually kind of get some choices.
You can choose from high-resolution images to make out cars and even individuals, or moderate resolution, so a building shows up, but a car would look like a smudge. But these choices have trade-offs. High-resolution images only give you a picture of a very small area.
It is like looking at the Earth through a drinking straw.
So you need to know exactly what you're looking for and exactly where to look. Moderate resolution is a little more forgiving. For example, a satellite company like Planet,
they try to take a picture of the whole Earth every day at about 3 meters in resolution. And so that gives you a ton of coverage.
It becomes like a kind of time-lapse photography.
So what you try to do is try to watch all the moderate resolution stuff that you're getting all the time so that you know to say, oh, hey, look, something's interesting happening here.
And then you ask the satellite company to take a high-resolution picture there. That's what happened a couple of years ago when pictures came out of Kim Jong-un touring this factory where it was believed North Korea was making crucial parts for short-range ballistic missiles. One of the images had Kim looking at this map that suggested the plant was about to undergo a huge expansion. So Lewis and the Middlebury team now had a place to look. A huge expansion of the plant, if it were true, would be an important thing for the world to know. It would mean that North Korea was stepping up its short and medium-range ballistic missile programs. But what if it was a head fake, like Kim's ears? So Lewis and the team started to dig.
When we found the place he visited, they had not started the expansion yet. So it was just this tiny, tiny, tiny little facility.
They had a high-resolution satellite with that soda straw view take some pictures over the course of several months of North Korea's knocking down buildings at the plant and building new ones. And then Lewis and his team told the world.
This expansion is happening. And we really got that all from just Kim standing in front of a map.
North Korea has an extremely large and well-developed missile program.
They used to name the missiles after local places. Pretty soon they ran out of towns and just started numbering them. And we're up into the 30s now. And North Korea has done 6 nuclear tests. And so, at least for someone like me, there is no doubt that North Korea can put a nuclear warhead on a missile and send it all the way to the United States.
But the U.S. can deal with that. It gets more complicated if it's more than one warhead on a missile, which is exactly what North Korea is working on.
And what they really want to do is put multiple warheads in the missile so that they can overwhelm our missile defenses.
And the Hwasong-17 monster missile was designed to do that, except...
This guy, Colin Zwerko, was the first person who said, I don't think this is right.
Zwerko is a senior correspondent for NK News based in Seoul.
And that's music to our ears. Because that is like waving a red flag at a bull. And my whole team was like, well, let's check that out.
There are tools online that you can use to measure the angle of the sun at a particular time of day and determine which direction the shadow should fall.
That's Michael Dusman, one of Lewis's colleagues at the Middlebury Institute. And he kind of specializes in measuring shadows, so he looked at another North Korean missile launch just days before, on March 16th.
We could compare the direction the shadow would fall at the 2 different launch times and determine how that compared with what was seen in the video.
They realized, and this is the first time they're saying this publicly, that the big video they released in March was made using footage from 2 different launches.
I do remember being in the office and Jeffrey slamming his hand on the desk and thinking this was like a really big deal.
Is that true? Does he slam his hand on the desk a lot?
Well, occasionally.
In a good excitement, right? Right.
Yeah.
Lewis pulled up an image from the North Korean video to give me an idea how they pieced it together. It's a wide-angle shot from above. A few scattered buildings, some trees, a road, a long, dark blob, which looks like that launch truck in the propaganda film.
The first image, the truck is sitting on the road at kind of a funny angle. And if you look really closely, you can see this white spot, and that's the missile standing up on end.
It almost looks like a microphone lying on its side with a little sort of white dot at the end.
Yes, you should be in radio. And what's notable about this is there's enough detail in this drone image that you can tell exactly where on the road this truck is. And you can see that it's at this kind of slightly funny angle.
Then he shows me the second image from Planet Labs. It's a satellite picture from March 16th, almost 10 days before the Hwasong-17 launch was supposed to have happened.
And it's a very high-resolution image. And it's of exactly the same spot. You can see all the same buildings. You can see the same fields. The road looks the same. Even the damage to the road is identical. And you can really see that detail. And the truck is gone, but there's a black kind of smear. And that smear is the burn scar.
The kind of burn mark you get from a fiery missile launch.
It's a kind of half a rectangle because the burn mark traces the outline of the truck. It's almost like you went and looked at Kim Jong-un and you asked him like, hey, did you eat those brownies? And he says, no, I don't know who did it. But he's got chocolate smeared all over his face. I mean, it's just such a perfect giveaway.
So here's the thing. When Lewis and his team go back to the satellite images from March 24th, the day the North Koreans say they successfully launched the monster missile, those burn marks aren't there.
And I don't see any evidence that it was launched.
No evidence of a launch either that day or in that place. So how do you launch a monster missile without leaving a trace? Well, that started them thinking.
We had already looked at the position of the sun in the video.
That didn't add up either. The launch on the 24th was supposed to be in the afternoon, but the position of the sun in the video suggested that it was filmed in the morning.
It's really this kind of really chaotic, iterative process where what you're trying to do is pull in all this data and compare it, organize it, try to make it make some sense, realize what you're missing, and then go get that data. And you just kind of do it over and over and over again.
Lewis says that while he may be pounding his fist on the desk at various times in the process, there's rarely an aha moment.
What more likely happens is you start to realize what the answer is. You know, there's almost a kind of gravity that the truth has, where it's clear that one answer is simpler than the others, one answer explains all the evidence pretty well.
So the results of the team's investigation pointed to this.
They tested two missiles in March.
One that worked and one that didn't.
The simplest answer is that they launched the big one on the 16th. They filmed it. Kim Jong-un was there, but it blew up. So they couldn't announce it. So they came back a few days later. They launched a different missile that they were pretty sure would work.
Then they release a big splashy video
in order to imply it had worked.
Lewis said he doesn't know where exactly they launched the second smaller missile from, but it obviously wasn't from the same spot with the burn marks that the satellite images captured.
The secret sauce in looking at imagery are the signatures. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, great, here's a picture or a video of a missile launcher, but it's all the little things that go with it, like burn marks and the trailers in the background and the vehicles that are in the background that help over time to develop a real sense about what's going on.
That's John Lauder. He used to serve as director of the CIA's Non-Proliferation Center.
And I'm a believer in those capabilities and what folks like Jeffrey Lewis are doing. The downside is, of course, well, it starts to reveal a bit about how one goes about looking like imagery and helps maybe the North Koreans being a little smarter next time, putting together a videos that might give something away.
Lauder says next time around, Kim's team of propagandists might be a little bit smarter. And there will be a next time. This particular failure to launch doesn't mean that North Korea has given up trying. Kim Jong-un may have given up on making his ears look smaller, but he's unlikely to shake his obsession with the Hwasong-17. Lewis says eventually he's going to get that missile to succeed.
And one of the things I'm concerned about is we're not really emotionally ready to have that conversation.
For The World, I'm Dina Temple-Raston.
Dina Temple-Raston is the host of Click Here, covering the world of cyber and intelligence. Our thanks to Will Jarvis and Sean Powers for their work on the story.
From PRX.